Today's Shir Masechta Erevin Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Yom Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. V'rami Adaraisa Adaraisa L'Rameya. In our previous Shir, the Gemara, in attempting to explain the opinion of Rav Meir in our Mishnah, said that Rav Meir's opinion is that Tchum Adaraisa, that the din of putting an Erev Tchum is a din Daraisa. And since it's a din Daraisa, we understand why Rav Meir, when the said in the Mishnah, if there's a suffix, if there's a question about the validity of the Erev, Rav Meir was machmer. That's why he said it's a chomer gomel, the wording of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Rami deraisa Rav Meir. But we're going to ask a question, how does Rav Meir treat a situation of suffix even when it's a deraisa? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Taharis, Perek Hey Mishnah Zion teaches us, Noga ba'odam, if somebody touched a person by Lila during the night, Veni Yedeya, Imchai Imes, and he doesn't know if the individual whom he touched was alive or dead, Ulamachor, and tomorrow morning, Hishkim, Umatza Mes, he finds that the person that he touched during the evening is now no longer alive. And the question is, did he touch him while he was alive, and therefore he's not Tamei? Or did he touch this person when he was already no longer alive, and therefore he touched a person who's not alive, you're going to be Tamei? So we're not quite certain how to look at this situation. Says the Gemara, Ramei Matair. Ramei says that the person who doesn't know his status, he doesn't know if the person whom he touched was alive or dead, is Tahar. Why? Because we can rely on the Chazaka. And the Chazaka tells us that he was alive at that point, then we could rely on the Chazaka that he was alive and that he's only dead at the last moment. He has a Cheskes Chai. Chom HaTamim, and the Chom hold that we have to treat this person who touched this person as if he's Tamei, Shekola Tamei's Kishas Mitziyosan. He found, right now, the person is no longer alive, so we have to assume that the person was not alive when he touched them as well. There's a machlokes rishonim how to look at this situation. Some rishonim explained that the Chachamim indeed agree that we always go with the Cheskes Chai. We say that the person was alive until the last moment when we know was he was not alive. Just here, because we're dealing with Truma and Kachim, that's why we have to be more machmer. That's how Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Kol approaches this Gemara. There are other Rishonim, however, who explain that the opinion of the Chachamim is that whenever we have a question, how to look at a situation, we look at what is it now. And if now the person is dead, we have to assume that he was dead already when he was touched during the night. Tosfos also says that if even the Chachamim will agree, and this is very much in line with Tosfos' opinion, that Tosfos says that the Chachamim actually do agree with the concept of Chazaka de Mikara. Where, says Tosfos, that we're only speaking in a situation where this person who touched the person who is now no longer alive, we did not know that he was alive last evening. But if the person who was touched was seen alive last night, and then during the night he was touched, so there we have much more reason to believe that he was alive when he was touched, and even the Chachamim will agree that we could be Mekel. There are others that disagree and say, and it's very much the Machlokes that we just learned. The Chachamim never subscribe to the Chazaka de Mikara. If the Chachamim don't subscribe to the Chazaka de Mikara, so even in a situation where he was seen alive last night, that wouldn't change the consideration that right now he's not alive, and that's what we have to follow. There's a very big machlokes rishonim. Furthermore, Rav Meir, who takes this lenient approach, where is he? What is he speaking about? And which area is he speaking about? Some rishonim say that we're speaking about a Rishus HaRabim, where, as we've discussed numerous times, Safek Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. The difficulty with that pshat is that if we're speaking about a Rishus HaRabim, so why, what's the Chiddush the Rameyer is lenient? Or moreover, how could the Chacham be Machmer if we're always, we know the halach is that Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is always Tahar? And because of that question, some say that the Gemara here is actually referring where this dead person was found in a Rishus HaYochid. Because if indeed he was found in a Rishus HaRabim, then we have the general rule, which we always learn, that Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. There are, however, that say that even though the halacha is indeed Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahar, we cannot apply the concept of Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim Tahar in a situation where we see that the person is no longer alive. It's difficult to call that a Safek. And since it's difficult to call that a Safek, the regular rules of Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim Tahar will not apply. So what's relevant to us is here we see that there's a Safek. Was the person alive or not alive when he was touched? And Rameya is being lenient. So the question is, why in our Mishnah is Rameya not lenient? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yirmiya, Mishnah Seinu, our Mishnah is speaking about a situation, Shehayu L'Sharetz Kol Ben HaShemashos, that the truma that was used for the Erev Tchumim was Tameh for the entire duration of the Ben HaShemashos. And since it was Tameh the entire duration, it's not a question. Says the Gemara, it's certainly not a valid Erev, because an Erev made out of Truma, which is Tameh, is not edible. No one could eat Truma Tameh, and therefore the Erev is not a kosher Erev. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi, if that's how we're explaining is the case of a Mishnah, then we need to understand, Bahal Lema, Rav Yossi Safek Erev. So how could Rav Yossi in our Mishnah Paskin that this is a situation of a Safek? And Rav Yossi's opinion is, by a Safek and Erev Tchumim, we're lenient. Moreover, points out Taisvus, the very Maskel Baha, that it's not only a question on Rav Yossi, the Gemara could have asked the question even on Rav Meir as well. Rav Meir says that it's a Chama Gomel. I treat it as a Safek. Ask the Gemara, if Rav Meir treats it as a Safek, if Rav Meir treats it, Rav Meir shouldn't treat it as a Safek. If we're explaining that our Gemara is referring to a situation where we know for sure it was Tameh, it's not a Safek. So the Gemara could have asked the question even on Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, therefore we have to explain Rav Yirmiya somewhat differently, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Dar Tavayu, Rabbi Rav Yosef explained the case of the Mishnah as follows. Hacha, our Mishnah speaking about a situation where you have Shnei Kite Edom Eskinim. There are two different pairs of Edom. Achas Ameres Meboy Joim Nitma. One says that we know for certain that the Truma was Tameh ready from Friday afternoon. And therefore, we know for certain there was no Erev. Achas Ameres, and the other pair says Meshech Sheikha. It only happened after Bein HaShemashos. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is that when we have two pairs of Edom that are contradicting each other, so there's two ways of looking at it. We could look at it that the two pairs of Edom cancel each other out. And since they cancel each other out, then we have no Edom and we can rely on the regular Chazakas. But Rameyer doesn't agree to that. Rameyer says that when we have two pairs of Edom, we can't ignore that we have here two pairs of Edom. We certainly have two pairs of Edom. And we can't rely on a chazaka to contradict an aid. Where can we rely on a chazaka? Only when there's no Edom against the chazaka. And the way that Achroinim explained that is that whenever we have a question, how to deal with a situation, how to look at a situation. So the Torah gives us different methods how to deal with a situation of a Safek. One of the methods the Torah gives us is Edom. It's a pasuk in the Torah. A pishne edim, yakum davar. We look at edim to determine what is the situation. Another way of making a determination is chazaka. And as much as we've learned in our shiur today and in other gemaras, that chazaka is indeed a powerful method to make determinations, chazaka is certainly not stronger than edim. So since here we have edim, we have one pair of edim that say for sure that this Erev was not a valid Erev, but was not a valid Erev ready for Friday afternoon. A chazaka does not have the ability to go against Edom, and therefore, even though the chazaka would maybe tell us that the Erev is a good Erev, it doesn't make a difference. How will we understand Rabbi Yossi? So the way we'll understand Rabbi Yossi is just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that when we have trey u'trey, when we have two pairs of edim who are contradicting each other, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that they cancel each other out. If they cancel each other out, so now we are in a situation where we have no edim. When we have no edim, as we said a minute ago, what we do then is we follow the chazaka. So it turns out that the machloikus between Ramei and Rabbi Yossi and our Mishnah, the way Rabbi Yirmiyah is explaining our Mishnah, is how do we look at two pairs of edim that contradict each other? Do we look at it as if they cancel each other out? That is the way Rabbi Yossi approaches the situation. And Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, holds that they don't cancel each other out. There's trey. We have a suffix. And since we have edim, a chazaka is not operable where we have edim against that chazaka. Rav Amar, even though those edim have other edim that are contradicting each of them. Rava has a different approach. Rava says, Hossam, by the case, and again, Rava is coming to address the question that we began our shiur with today. That from our Mishnah we see that when we have a suffix, Rameir is Machmer. And in our Mishnah we see is Machmer, and the Mishnah where somebody who touched the person who was found dead, he's Mekel. Said, and the way Rabbi Yirmiyah explained, our Mishnah, as we just said, is speaking about a situation where the two pairs of Edom that contradict each other. The Mishnah over there is not referring to such a situation. Rava says, we could even explain that Mishnah in Masechta Taharis, where we have two pairs of Edom that are contradicting each other. And even though we have two pairs of Edom that are contradicting each other, the situations are different. Hossam, we, over there where somebody touched somebody by night, we have trei chazaka l'kula. We have two chazakas to say that the person is still tar. One is on the mace. Haman mace al chazkasa, as we just said. The mace has a cheskas chai, that it was alive when he went to sleep, and that we say he died at the latest time we could say. And number two, we have a chazaka on the person who touched it. The person who touched him was Tahor, and therefore he has a cheskes tara. Whereas Hocha, in our Mishnah, we only have Chod Chazaka L'Kula. We only have a Chazaka that the Truma was Tahor. But the person doesn't come with a Chazaka that the Erev Trum that he put down is a valid Erev Trumim and that he can walk that far. And therefore, where is Rameya lenient when there are two Chazakas pointing in that direction? When there are no two chazakas pointing in that direction, we cannot be lenient. Which means, the way Rashi seems to learn the Gemara, that even though we just said that chazaka is not powerful enough versus Edom, when is chazaka not powerful enough versus Edom? Chazaka is not powerful enough versus Edom when it's one chazaka versus Edom. But when it's a situation that you have two edim, then the halacha is that two chazakas are powerful enough even against edim. Kash Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. But ask the Gemara, we also have a question in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi held that a Suffolk Erev is kosher. And We learned the Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos. It was quoted in our previous year, where Rabbi Yossi held that somebody who has a suffik, if he did a tefillah, if he did a proper tefillah in the mikvah, he's tamei, even if it's a tumah derabbanan. So how do we reconcile Rabbi Yossi's opinions? Amar Rav Huna bar Chinana, shani tumah hoyav yesh leikum min ha-Torah. Hilchas tumah, even in a situation where it's not a tumah deraisa, but hilchas tumah are something that have a source in the Torah. And since they have a source in the Torah, that's why we're more machmer. Although the Mishnah Achrayna points out that Rabbi Yossi, we're learning now, is machmer, because Tumah has an ikum in a Torah, not all Tumas will Rabbi Yossi hold that way. Says the Gemara, Shabbos not, but if that's the approach, that wherever there's an ikum in a Torah, something that has a basis in the Torah, Rabbi Yossi is machmer, Shabbos not midaraisa he. Shabbos is issa deraisa. Answers the Gemara, Ksavar Rabbi Yossi, Tchumen derabonani. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that even though Shabbos is a deraisa, but the mitzvah of Tchumim is only a derabonan. So the Ritva makes a very powerful point. We've discussed in previous shiurim that the question of tchumim of 2,000 mil is a machloikis tanoim, is it a deraisa derabonan? Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that it's a deraisa. The rabbanon hold that it's a derabonan. But tchumim of yud beis mil seems, the Yerushalmi says, that everybody agrees is a deraisa. So if that's the case, points out the Ritva, how do we say that tchumim is a derabbanon? Tchumim has an ikum deraisa, because tchumim by yud beis mil is a deraisa. So the Noi de Behuda, in addressing this issue, says there's two ways of looking at it. One way of understanding is that our Gemara holds that not only are tchumim of apayim mil, of 2,000 mil, a derabbanon, but our Gemara is going to hold that even yud beis mil is only a derabbanon. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that the tchum of yud beis mil and the tchum of alpayim mil are not the same halacha. Just the question is, here it's a derabbanon and here it's a deraisa. It's a totally different tchum. It's a totally different halacha. And even though yud beis mil will indeed be a deraisa, that has no bearing on alpayim mil. And alpayim mil will be strictly a derabbanon. But now, of course, the question is, the Rashi points out, that even if we'll say, and even if we'll take the lenient opinion, that tchumim is never deraisa, but certainly Shabbos is deraisa. So just like by Tumah, said the Gemara, that even by Tumah derabbanon, Rabbi Yossi is machmer, because there are cases of Tumah deraisa, so asks Rashi, why don't we say the same by Shabbos? Even if we'll say that Shabbos, that even if we'll say tchumim is completely derabbanon, but Shabbos is certainly deraisa in all the malachas of Shabbos. So Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil Mishani, says you can't compare Tumah and Shabbos. He says by Tumah, all Tumas, Tumas derabbanon and Tumas deraisa, are all under the general umbrella of Tumah. And since they're all under the general umbrella of Tumah, Rabbi Yossi was concerned that if we're going to be lenient by Tumah derabbanon, we may come to be lenient even by Tumah deraisa. Whereas, when we speak about Shabbos, every melacha of Shabbos is viewed individually. And since every melacha of Shabbos is viewed individually, the fact that some melachas are deraisa has no bearing on other melachas that are derabbanon. Vibay Seima. Another way, explains the Gemara, to reconcile the stira of Rabbi Yossi, Hadaday, Hadarabbe. Rabbi Yossi himself is machmer by Sofak Tumah, and this that he was makel in our Mishnah by Erev, it's not his own opinion. He holds that by Sofak indeed, even if the Sofak Darabonon, we need to be machmer. The reason he's mach in our Mishnah. The reason he's machmer is because that's the opinion of his Rebbe. Dekanami. And if we look at the Mishnah, it makes sense. The Tani Amar Rabbi Yosi, Aftumus Heid Mishum Chamisha Zakenim, Sosophic Erev Kosher. It was Aftumus' opinion, not Rabbi Yosi's independent opinion, Shmami Noah, that that's a great Teretz. Rav Amar, Rav gives a third way of reconciling the opinions of Rabbi Yosi. Hosom, Hanatam de Rabbi Yosi, the reason Rabbi Yosi is Machmer by the cases of if somebody did a proper tefillah, we go back to what we spoke about at the beginning of the shiur. We always look at the status quo. And the status quo is that this person was tamei. And now we don't know if he had a proper tefillah or if he did not have a proper tefillah. If we don't know if he did or didn't have a proper tefillah, we have to say, and assume that he had a proper, did not have a proper tefillah, and he's still tamei. However, when we speak about the Erev in our Mishnah, indeed we perhaps could say Hamet Adam Acheskes Tchum Beisoy, that the Tchum that he had, which was the Tchum of a city, is the Tchum that he should follow, and not assume that he made a proper Erev. However, we also have a Chazakah that the Truma, that's the case of our Mishnah, that the Truma that was put down for the Erev became Tomei, and the Truma has a Cheskes Tahara. So since we have competing chazakas, we have a chazaka lahakel that the truma has a cheskes tahara. Yes, we have a chazaka lahachmer that the tchum that he should have is the tchum of his home and not of the erev tchum that he put down. But since we have competing chazakas and we're dealing with rabbanon, we could be lenient. Whereas over there, in the case of the mikveh, we don't have competing chazakas. We only have one chazaka. We have a chazaka that he's tamei. When we don't have competing chazakas, even if it's a derabbanon, Rabbi Yosi will be machmer. Ask the Gemara, Adarabba, you're relying on chazaka, so by the mikveh, we should also say that doesn't the mikveh have a cheskes kashrus? Why don't we say that hamad mikveh cheskosoi veimishle chaser, that the mikveh has, there was a kosher mikveh and has a cheskes kashrus? Answers the Gemara, indeed, if the case over there, we're talking about a case where the mikveh had a cheskes kashrus, we could rely on that cheskes kashrus. Here we're referring to a mikveh shloi nimdad, that they never knew, that there is no guarantee, there is no certainty that this was a kosher mikveh. Tanya, so the Breisig speaks about a case, is Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that's Makel by Sofik Erev. Ketzad Amar Rabbi Yossi Sofik Erev Kasher. The Breisig expounds, when did Rabbi Yossi say we could rely by Sofik Erev and say it's Kasher? Erev Truma, somebody used Truma for an Erev. The Sofik Mibayoyim Netras, and there's a Sofik that it get Tomei from Friday afternoon. Sofik Mechashaych Netmas, or did it only get Tomei after Shabbos began? And as we keep on learning, Bein HaShmoshes is the defining moment of the validity of the Erev. And if the Erev Tchum was good by Bein HaShmoshes, even if it should become disqualified afterwards, the Erev is still considered a valid Erev. So we don't know when did this Tchum become Tomei. V'chein b'peiris, we have fruit, Tevel, which did not have trumas removed from it. And the halacha is that tevel may not be eaten by anyone, even by a kohen. So we put down peiris tevel as the erev. And we're not quite sure. And then the trumas and maisus were removed, but we're not quite sure. Sofik by joim niskanu, were the trumas and maisus removed before Ben Hashmashas? Sofik mecheshechen niskanu, or were they only taken off later when it's too late? The halacha is ze sofik erev. This too is a situation of a sofik erev and its kasha. Aval erev betruma. If the truma that you use for your erev never had a cheskes kashrus, it was sofik tayrus, sofik tameya. We never knew if it was truma tameya or peiris, sofik niskanu, sofik niskanu. We're not quite certain. It's not a question of when. It's a question of if. Ain't a sofik erev kasher. Even Rabbi Yossi will agree that this Erev we can't rely on. Maishna, says the Gemara, Maishna Truma, why in the situation of Truma that got Tomei, we're just not sure when it got Tomei, is Rabbi Yossi Mekel? The meaning, as we explained, Ham Truma Chaskasoi Veimatarihi. We rely on the Chazaka that it was Tar until the last minute that we can't say it was Tar. So ask the Gemara, Peiris Nami, why don't we say Ham Tevel Chaskasoi Veimaloi Niskanu? Why, when we have a question, when the first case that we just discussed, when the Truma was removed before Banish Moshes or after Banish Moshes, why are we being lenient? Why don't we say that for sure, why don't we rely on the Chazaka and say that everything happened at the last moment? It has a Cheskas, that it has a Cheskas Tevel. Answers the Gemara, Loi Tema, the case that the Brice is speaking about, says the Gemara, is not a situation where we know that the Truma was taken. We're just not sure was it taken earlier or later. Because if that were the case, indeed, then this has a Cheskas Tevel. And if it has a Cheskas Tevel, it may not be used for Erev. The case here is, Loi Tema, Sofik, B'yoyim Neskenu, where the Truma is taken earlier or later. Rather, the Sofik is, Sofik, M'boyjoyim Nitmu, Sofik, M'cheshech Nitmu. The question here is, that this Paris got mixed up with other Paris. That Rashi gives two pshatim here. One pshat Rashi says is that we had chulin Paris, we had perfectly good Paris that fell into them truma, and once truma falls into them, it only may be eaten by a kohen. And our Mishnah says Rashi is following the opinion of Sumchas that an erev tchumim made out of truma cannot be used by Yisrael. And therefore the question is, when did this happen? Did this happen only during Shabbos, and therefore the Erev is a good Erev? Or did it happen earlier, and the Erev is not good for Yisrael? That's one pshat that Rashi offers. The problem with that pshat, as Tosfos points out, is that we don't paskin like Sumchas. We paskin like the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin li Yisrael b'truma. So therefore, Rashi gives a different pshat. Rashi says that we're talking about you had good fruit, the tevel fell into it. If tevel fell in to chulin, if they don't have the proper shear, the halacha is that no one, it's treated like tevel, no one, even a kohen, may not eat it. And now the question is, when did that happen? But here again, the way we're explaining, it had a cheskas kashrus, it had a chazaka that this was fruit that everyone may eat. It got disqualified, but we're not quite sure when did it get disqualified. Bar of Shmuel bar Yitzchok bar Rav Huna, hoil of shtei kikris. Somebody had in front of him two loaves of truma. Achas tameya, one is tamei, which no one may eat. No one, even a kohen, no one may eat truma tameya. Vachas tayer, one is tar. Vomer. And somebody asked his shliach, Irvili b'tahara, use the tahara one to be an erev to me, become makom shehi. Put down both kikrois for an erev tchumim. I recognize that one can be used and one cannot be used. And put down both, and whichever one is the good one should be my erev. Mahu. What will be the halacha? Will that be a valid erev or not? And the Gemara explains the question. Tabayla Rameya, Tabayla Rav Yossi. And this, says the Gemara, is a question both according to Reb Meir and both according to Reb Yossi. In other words, what the Ritva explains, this has nothing to do with the machlokes that we've been learning between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, how to treat a Suffolk Erev. Because the Gemara explains. Tabayla Reb Meir, it's a question even according to the opinion of Reb Meir. At kanu kam Reb Meir hasam the leketayra. In the case of our Mishnah, there was Truma that certainly got Tomei. Just don't know when it got Tameh. But we only have Truma Tameh. That's why Remeir is Machmer. Hocha, in this case, we have a loaf, the Ketairah. And maybe Remeir is lenient. Idoma, or we could argue the other way. Afilu Reb Yossi, like Kamer, when did Reb Yossi say that a Sofik Erev is Kasha? Ela Hossam. In the case of our Mishnah, the Misa di Tairah, if it's Tairah, Yodalei, he knows which is the bread that he could eat. We're just not sure when they got Tameh, but we know what we're relying on to use as the Erev. Aval Hocha, when he puts down two loaves of bread, and we don't know which is the bread that he can eat, and which, and we never knew which is the bread he could eat and which is the bread he can't eat, because we don't know which is the Torah or Tomei. Even Reb Yossi maybe will agree that you can't rely on that for an Erev. So what's the halacha? Amalei, so Rav Huna said to Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Bein l'Rav Yossi, Bein l'Rav Meir, Bina Suda ha'maboy, Roya maboy joy, to be considered a valid Erev, it has to be a Suda that can be eaten by Bein Hashmashas, the Lekka. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, the Gemara is teaching us here that what is the whole point of Erev Tchumim? The whole point of Erev Tchumim is that where I have my food is where it's considered I'm dwelling. But it's not a din of food. It's din of food that I could eat. Where the food that I could eat makes it my mokum dira. But if here I don't have food that I could eat, it's not a valid Erev, and everybody would agree. I don't have food that I could eat, Bein HaShmashos, it's not a valid Erev. B'Aminei Rav Aram Nachman. If somebody said on a loaf of bread, Kikazu HaYoyim Chal, today this loaf of bread should be considered chulin and may be eaten. Ulamachar, and by Shabbos, I want it to become kodesh. Vama ivali bazeh. And then he told the shliach, this loaf of bread that I just said this statement on should be the loaf of bread that I want to use for an Erev. Mahu. What is going to be the status of that Erev? Do we say that Bein HaShmashos, we don't know, it's Sofik Yoyim, Sofik Laila, and since Bein HaShmashos is Sofik Yoyim, Sofik Laila, it already by Bein HaShmashos may be Hegdish. And since when it's already Bein HaShmashos, it's Hegdish, you can't use Hegdish for Erev, because nobody's allowed to eat Hegdish. And therefore, it's not a valid Erev. Or do I say that it only becomes Hegdish when it's certainly Shabbos? And since that's the case, when it's Bein HaShmashos, it's still edible. It isn't yet Hegdish. And if it's still edible, it's a valid Erev. Because as we keep on repeating, the Erev has to be edible by Bein HaShmashos. Amalei, Erev, Erev. It's a valid Erev. Rabbi Kivega makes a point based on this Gemara that from here we see we're not allowed to be Magdish on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Kivega that even though you're not allowed to be Magdish on Shabbos, to be Magdish something on Friday afternoon and say that it's going to be Chegdish, that's not considered that you're being Magdish on Shabbos. Because since everything you're doing that's happening from before Shabbos, that's not considered that you were Magdish on Shabbos. What about a vice versa case, says the Gemara? Hayoyim Kodesh, where you have a loaf of bread that today is Hegdish, ulamachar chol, but I want it to become redeemed on Shabbos. And of course, the Rishonim point out, Hegdish can't get removed automatically. So the Rishonim explained that we're speaking here about a situation that it's set up with a mechanism that the Hegdish could be removed. Vomer, and then he told the Shliach, Ivrli Bezeh, this loaf that today is Hegdish, but tomorrow on Shabbos will no longer be Hegdish, Mahu, what is the status of this Erev? Amalei, so he said, Ein Erev Erev. So of course the question was asked, why in the first case is it considered a valid Erev, and why in the second case is it not considered a valid Erev? Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to him, L'chi techol ha'kur de milcha, when you'll bring me a measure of salt, when you bring me a measure of salt, I'll answer. So Rashi explains that he was saying like a joke, you'll give me a measure of salt, I'll explain it to you. Another pshat, Rashi says, is that he was saying you could spend an entire day and you'll never be able to explain this Gemara, this difference properly. You have to be a real lamdan to understand this. And just like salt gives taste to what we eat, you really need to be a great Tam Chacham to properly be able to explain why this, the difference between the two situations. But then I saw a beautiful pshat from the Noida B'Yehuda. The Noida B'Yehuda explains that, as we know, that salt is sodium. And he says, what makes a person be sharp and be able to be an analytical, proper analytical, is if he has a proper sodium level in his system. So what he said to him is, go eat salt. And if you'll eat salt, you'll become sharp and you'll be able to explain the difference between the two cases. Hayoim chalamacha kodesh, misfeik alay nachsa kedusha. It's only going to become kodesh on Shabbos. Bein ha-shmoshes is still a suffix. We don't consider it kodesh until it's certainly Shabbos. And since it's not yet certainly Shabbos, we could be lenient and rely on this Erev. Whereas in a situation of ayoim kodesh ulamachachol, so we're starting with something that's hegdish. And we want that hegdish to be removed. It's not so simple to remove hegdish. We only can remove hegdish when we're certain that the hegdish is removed. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, it's harder to make something than to break something. So if I want to remove the hegdish, I can't remove the hegdish until we're certain that the hegdish should be removed, which is only when it's certainly Shabbos. But that's going to be too late, because the Erev already has to be valid by Bein HaShmoshes. Whereas, if we want to make hegdish, we don't say that it's certainly hegdish until it's Shabbos for sure. And the way I saw that Donig Yontif and Reb Chaim Brisker explained, people don't want to be left in a lurch. People don't want to be left in a suffix. And therefore, when it's not hegdish, nobody's prepared to let it become hegdish until it's certainly Shabbos. On the other hand, when it's already hegdish, nobody wants to fall into a situation of suffix hegdish. And therefore, they want it to remain hegdish until it's certainly not going to be hegdish, which is on Shabbos itself. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masechta in Tful Yoim, Perek Dal Mishnah Dal teaches us, Lagin Tful Yoim, you have a basket, a barrel, that was immersed in the mikveh today. And we know that when something is put into the mikveh, it becomes a Tful Yoim. It was put into the mikveh today, but it's not considered completely tor until you had Harif Shemesh. So you have a lagin tful yoim, shmelua menachoves shamaiser, tevel, that you filled up from a basket wine or oil of maiserishin that was still tevel, that didn't take off from a trumas maiser. As we discussed, when one gives the levi maiserishin, he has to remove from it trumas maiser. And this basket has maiserishin from which the trumas maiser was not yet removed. V'amar, hareza trumas maiser l'chishtechshech. He says that the trumas maiser should be effective after Shabbos. Dvarav kayomim, then what he said is valid. Vim, amar irvili b'zeh, and if you use this for an erev, lo yamaklum, it's not a valid erev. Because when is it going to be considered that the Trumas Maiser was removed? It's only going to be considered that the Trumas Maiser was removed once Shabbos commenced, but the Erev has to be valid already by Bein HaShmoshes. Amarava, Zoyis Ameris, from this Gemara we understand, Soif HaYoyim Koina Erev, that what is the moment that the Erev has to be effective? At the beginning of Bein HaShmoshes. And here, the Trumas Maiser is only going to be removed once Shabbos begins, which is the end of Bein HaShmoshes, so therefore it's not a valid Erev. V'isal k'daitach, ask the Gemara, Shetchil Shem Kana Erev, if you're going to say that the Erev is only that when does the Erev become effective? From the beginning of Shabbos, meaning the last minute of Bein HaShmoshes, so then it would be difficult to understand. If somebody said, use this for an Erev, why is it not a valid Erev? When end of Bein HaShmoshes comes, the Trumas Maiser is effective. And since the Trumas Maiser is effective at that moment, it's no longer Tevel. If it's no longer Tevel, it should be a good Erev. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, so it must be that the beginning of Bein HaShmoshes is when the Erev has to be effective. Amra Papa, Afilu Teima, Tchilos Yoim Koina Erev. Even we'll say at the beginning of Shabbos, the end of Bein HaShmoshes is when the Erev becomes a valid Erev. Being in Sudar Ruyim Miboy Joim, but to be considered a valid Erev, it has to be something that could be eaten Bein HaShmoshes. And this cannot be eaten Bein HaShemashas. And therefore, if it can't be eaten Bein HaShemashas, even if the Erev is the moment, the defining moment is the last minute of Bein HaShemashas, but if it can't be eaten for the entire duration of Bein HaShemashas, then the halacha is that it's not a valid Erev. As we've discussed many times, when we speak about Erev Tchumim, the Erev Tchumim has its repercussions. What I mean to say is that if you put an Erev to the east side, so indeed you gain 2,000 amos in that direction, but you lose to the west side that you can't walk anywhere past the city, and so vice versa. So our Mishnah and Gemara now begin to discuss a situation where a person is not quite certain, the Gemara is going to give reasons why, which side he wants the Erev to be effective. And the question is, can person put down two Erevs and then rely retroactively to see which is the Erev that he wants to be affected? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Master Adam El Aruvah, a person can make a Tanai. Vaymer, Im Bo Nochrim and a Mizrach, that are Nochrim that are coming from the east side, and therefore I want to run to the west side from them. So I want that Erev that I put on the west side should be the effective Erev. And if it turns out that the Akum came from the west side, Min Amarev, then I want that the Erev I put on the Mizrach should be the effective Erev. Or in Bo Lakan Olakan, if it turns out the Akum come from both sides, so then I should be able to choose on Shabbos, Lamakum She'eretz Eilech, which Erev I want should be the effective one, and I should be able to go in that direction. I can't go to both directions, but I should be able to decide on Shabbos which one I want to be effective. Or, loy bar loy lakan v'kan, if Baruch Hashem it turns out that nobody comes on Shabbos, then hareini k'beiri, I want to be like everybody in my city as if I didn't have an Erev Tchum at all. Or, in bar chacham min ha-mizrach, he's expecting a Talmud Chacham to come, but he's not sure, and he wants to hear that Talmud Chacham is going to give a drasha, and he's not quite sure which direction the Talmud Chacham is coming from, the east or the west. So he says, Imba Chacham min ha-mizrach, if it turns out that the Talmud Chacham, the Rav, is coming to the east side, Aruvi l'mizrach. Min ha-mariv, if the Talmud Chacham ends up being coming from the west side, I want Aruvi l'mariv. Ba l'kan l'kan, or if that two Talmid Chacham come, and I want to have the ability to choose which drasha I want to listen to. L'makam she'eretz ha'elech. Or, loy loy l'kan v'loy l'kan. No Talmud Chacham shows up, and therefore I have no read for Erev Tchumim. In all these cases, Hareini k'bnei'iri, I want to be like the people in my city with no Erev Tchumim. So according to the Tanna Kamma, this is effective. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im haya echem mehem rabbi, but if you have two Talmidei Chachamim, one is his Rebbe, and one is not his Rebbe, we could assume that he wanted the Erev to be the Erev on the side of his Rebbe. Hoylech etz rabbi, he goes to the one that's his Rebbe. Vim ha'yishnei rabbi'isam. But even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if they were both his Rebbe's, and therefore he equally wants to hear the shir of both of them, it's treated like a situation where he could choose whichever one he wants. L'mokam shir tzayelech. And as Tosfos the Ramaskel V'im explains, that it doesn't have to be that both of them have to be his equal stature of Rebbe. He learned by both of them, and even if one is his Rabbi Muvak and one is not his Rabbi Muvak, he could still choose this time to go to the side of where this Rebbe is and not the other Rebbe is. So I saw a beautiful pshat. We say in the Perek of Tehillim, Oladavar Hashem Oyri V'yishi, the capital Chav Zayin, the pasuk says, M'tachna loy machna, Lo'ira libi. If there are people coming to attack me, Lo'ira libi, I'm not concerned. I'm talking like Melchama. If I am in a situation of war, Bezois ani b'teach, I could be confident. What does the pasuk say further? Achas sho'alti meis Hashem, Oysa avakesh, Shifti meis Hashem, Koyim echayoy, Lachsa benoim Hashem, Lo'avakeh echoloy. The Baal Shem explains that a person, the first part of the Mishnah is speaking about a person who's concerned about war. How does a person overcome the concern of war? The way you overcome the concern of war is you think about your Rebbe. You think about learning Torah. So our Mishnah says, start speaking about a person who's in a situation of war. But we don't have to worry about war if you're thinking about your Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Kasher of Yitzchak, Tana Ifcha Kulam Asnisen. Says the Gemara, when Rabbi Yitzchak came, he had a brisa that had just the opposite version of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah learned that a person wants to run away from the Akum, and therefore he puts the Erev in the opposite direction from where they are coming. And by the Talmud Chacham, we learned that he wants to go to where the Talmud Chacham is coming so he could go here to Shear. The brisa says the halacha is just the opposite, that a person wants to go in the direction of the Akum, and therefore he wants that the Erev should be effective in the direction for where they are coming. And by the Talmud Chacham, he wants to go in the opposite direction. So obviously, Kasha Nachrim HaNachrim, Kasha Chacham HaChacham. Answers the Gemara, Nachrim HaNachrim like Kasha. Haber Fagna, when you have Akum that were tax collectors that did not do it in an honest fashion, so those are people you want to run from. Haber Mari Demasa, but when you're speaking about important government officials, so there's a point to go greet government officials, and therefore you want to go in their direction. Chacham HaChacham Oikasha, Haber Masa Perki, when you have somebody who's giving a shear, so that's the person that you want to go listen to. Haver Mikri Shema, somebody who is just teaching Talmidim, Shema, are people that you're not anxious to meet. So the way Rashi explains that the way to understand the Mishnah is there are two Talmid Chacham coming. One is somebody who is a Magid Shir, who says a great shir, and one is somebody who just teaches young students. So of course, if you have them coming in opposite directions, a person is going to want to go in the direction of the person who's giving a shir, not in the direction of somebody who's just a Rebbe of young students that's not going to have a very geshmaka shir. But the Aruch gives a different pshat, very interesting pshat. He says, people want to go hear a shir from a Magid Shir, of course. But the Makri Shema were the students, were the Rebbeim who taught the young boys, and what they were coming for, they were coming to collect tuition. And since they were coming to collect tuition, people wanted to avoid them because nobody wants to have to, you know, they're going to come and say you owe tuition. And I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed uses this concept that people don't want to meet up people who are going to ask them for money. He says that if a shul who makes an appeal on Shabbos, or a shul who, anybody who gets an aliyah, has to give a significant donation when he gets an aliyah, should consider if that's the right thing to do. He says that if that's going to cause, as this Gemara just indicated, according to Aruch, that people will want to avoid meeting up with them, so it could also cause that people will avoid coming to shul. People are not going to want to come to shul if they know that they're going to have to give a donation that they may not be able to give or want to give. And therefore, the shul should consider if that's the proper thing to do. So he says, but the shuls need funds to survive. So what should they do? So he says the right thing to do is that when the nedava is announced, when the person gives the nedava, it should always be done quietly, not loud. And therefore, nobody will be embarrassed. So the person who is not able to give a large donation will not be reluctant to come to Davin. Rabbi Yehuda Mahay Echem and Rabbi. So Rabbi Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah said that if in one direction it's your Rebbe, and the other direction it's not your Rebbe, we're certain you wanted the Erev to be in the direction of your Rebbe. The Chum disagree. How do we understand the Chachamim? Rabbanon explains the Gemara, Zimnan the Nichalei B'chavrei Tfei Rebbe. Sometimes a person would rather learn from a colleague than from his Rebbe. As I saw the Leif Simcha quoting his father, the Emory Emes, says that sometimes you could learn more Torah from a friend than from a Rebbe. And he explains That's why it says, "V'haftal reacha kamaicha." Amar b'kiva zeh klal gadol b'toyra. V'haftal reacha kamaicha. So we understand always the means. V'haftal reacha kamaicha zeh klal gadol b'toyra. It's an important rule to love your friend as you love yourself. He explains zeh klal gadol b'toyra is teaching us how are we going to be successful in our learning. When we learn with our friends, when we learn with a chavrusa, when we learn with a gshmak a chabura, that is a way to succeed in learning.